Okay, tonight I would like to start the class by asking a question. The question is, what is the greatest day in the history of mankind, other than the birth of Christ? Who said that? Correct. His resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is the most important day in man's history, and we all believe that, don't we? We all agree with that. And even though his birth was great, we need the resurrection to make Jesus the Son of God and deity, and that's the most important day that we know of in life. Yet throughout history, there have been many who, they don't agree with that. They deny that Jesus was raised from the dead. They don't believe God in the Godhead. They don't believe in the deity of Christ or the resurrection from the dead. And Paul had that trouble in the first century. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:12-19, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." Some other translations say in verse 17, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless." Or others say, "vain." So all of us here tonight believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Was the greatest day for mankind, whether we believe it or not. And God did this to redeem man from his sins. And the shedding of the blood of the perfect Son of God gave us that hope. And God had required this of Jesus, and he fulfilled it. But man has denied that Jesus rose from the dead from the day of his resurrection until today. In Matthew 28:15, it says the guards were paid to tell the people that his followers took his body and hid it. That verse says, "And they took the money and they did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day." So they, even back then, didn't want Jesus to be raised from it, didn't want people to know it. On December 21st, 2021, I watched a program on the History Channel called The Secrets of the Bible Revealed. On this program, it stated that Jesus probably was taken from the tomb by his followers because Jesus had not been buried according to Jewish tradition. We know that the tomb that Jesus lay in was donated by Joseph of Arimathea. He was a Jew. And Mary was going to cover the body with spices the morning after Jesus was crucified, according to Jewish tradition. Okay? And we must make sure that we don't let anybody teach our children or anybody that we know the idea, with the idea that the body of Jesus was taken by his followers. This is the common way of people going against what the Bible says. And so tonight, I'm going to look at some of the actual scriptures that show us when Jesus appeared to people in the New Testament in the scriptures. The resurrection is proclaimed throughout the New Testament in prophecy and in the first century, and yet people today question and even deny that it happened. They have that desire to take away the deity of Christ. They don't really believe he was anything but a man. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:20 and 21, "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." He did it so he would prove that he was the Son of God, and the glory of God would be shown. Jesus did what he needed to do in his life on earth. He came and served mankind, and the most important thing he accomplished was that he lived a perfect life. I think Ron talked about this in a number of his lessons, that Jesus never sinned one time. And that was what made him perfect and an acceptable sacrifice to God. In Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father." So Jesus rescued us from this evil life, that we might receive an eternal life with God. Yet none of it would have meant anything if Jesus had not risen from the grave. In Luke 24:46 and 47, Jesus said, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Jesus told his disciples over and over again about this, that he would raise him to prove that he was the Son of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the basis of all of our faith. Without it, really, Jesus is just a good man or a prophet. And this is what many of the people today are trying to shove down our throat, that we believe in Jesus, but yet he was just a good man. He wasn't deity. He wasn't the Son of God, and he didn't rise from the grave, even though the scriptures teach it. There are many people out there you're going to come in contact with, and I think it's going to get worse, and especially the idea that our children are going to hear this from people, that Jesus was not deity. He wasn't a part of the Godhead. He wasn't raised from the dead. And there are different denominations right now teaching this. If you go on and check online or Google some of these denominations, such as the Unitarian Church or the Christian Scientist or the Jehovah's Witness or the Oneness Pentecostals, you'll see that they'll accept Christ, but not as deity. Okay? they want to get, they don't want people to get mad, but they don't believe in it. They don't believe in Christ. According to Acts 1:3, Jesus walked the earth for 40 days after God raised him. There's no way to know exactly how many people saw Jesus after his resurrection, but I want to look at the different accounts of those who did see him. Accounts of the resurrection and those who saw Jesus after his resurrection are recorded in the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each one tells his story in a different way than the other. Some give more details than the others, but all give the same information. Luke and John are the clearest as to the time frame of the events they describe. But because of the differences in their telling, the time when certain things happened is a little different. So trying to put all these things together in order and piece them together of the things that happened in the 40 days while Jesus walked the earth after his resurrection, it's nearly impossible to do because none of the Gospels present it all in direct order. The differences in telling of the accounts makes it difficult to get an exact number on how many and when certain ones saw the Lord, but it does not show any contradiction in the information. God could have just told us, as we've read before, that over 500 people saw Jesus after his resurrection. He could have just told us that, and it would have been enough. But he went into detail and gave us specific instances to prove that many saw him. Many, many people saw him, many more than 500. We see in John 21:25 that many things in the Scriptures or many things that Jesus did are not written in the Scriptures. It says in John 21:25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And that's a familiar verse for us, and we've read it before. And so this also can pertain to the resurrection. When I started my study of this subject, I found that some write that there were as many as 14 appearances of Jesus to different people. Some say 12, 10, some only 9. For our study tonight, I will take whatever time we have and look at as many as we can. And I'm going to read some verses kind of quickly, but you can follow along with me. First of all, if you would, turn to John, the 20th chapter. We're going to be spending a little time in John, the 20th chapter. Some of the number of sightings of Jesus for our study can be lumped together because they happened very close together. The first sighting of Jesus came on the first day of the week, early in the morning after the crucifixion. In Matthew 28, the scripture says that Mary Magdalene, who is not the mother of Jesus, and another Mary, who is the mother of James and Joseph, Mark 16:1, and Salome and Joanna, from Luke 24:10, went to the tomb early on the first day of the week with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. The tomb was open and he was gone. Mary, being very upset, saw two angels who told her that Jesus had risen. It says she turned and saw Jesus. And in John 20, verse 15 through 18, it says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Okay, so let's continue going on down in verse 19. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Okay, so I would say that this with Mary and the women, and this with the disciples, is the first and second sighting of Jesus after his resurrection. Keep your finger at John 20. We're going to go back to that. But the next sighting is recorded in Luke 24:13, where later on that day, Jesus reveals himself to two disciples walking along the road. In Luke 24:13, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem." All right, these two are not named, but look down further in verses 31 through 35. And it says, "Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." These two men, I would say, would be the third time recorded that Jesus showed himself. The two men said in verse 34, he had also appeared to Simon Peter, which would make that the fourth time Jesus revealed himself, Luke 24:34. Now let's look back at John 20 again. John 20, verse 26 through 29. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So I would say this is the fifth appearance of Jesus. Next, the apostles do what they had been told by the angels in Matthew 28:10, and they travel to Galilee. Galilee was about 60 miles away, so it took them days to get there. But once they were there, in Matthew 28, verse 16 and 17, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." This would be the appearance number 6. Now, we have to realize that during this time and during these appearances, we don't know exactly how many other people were around that we don't even know about. And I imagine that it was just not just with them always, it was with other people. Let's see, Matthew 28, verses 16 and 17 said, so we made that number 6. All right, and John 21 then is verses 1 through 14. John 21, 1 through 14 is the story of the great catch of fish. Verse 1 says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way." John 6, 1 says that the Sea of Tiberias was the Sea of Galilee. So they were the same. Does anybody want to tell me the story of the great catch of fish? I know we all know it. We've heard it before. It's good to read it. It's basically, I'm going to just kind of outline it as we look down these 14 chapters and not read every single bit of it. But it says, "Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said, 'I'm going to go fishing.' So they go out in the boat and they fish all night and they catch nothing. So they're coming back into the shore as the day is starting to, the sun's starting to come up, and they, fishing's better at night, by the way. They were coming into the shore, and Jesus was standing by the shore, and he asked them, "Do you have any fish?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Well, cast your net on the right side of the boat." So he's within talking distance, about 100 yards, it says, offshore, and they put their net down on the right side of the boat and they haul it in, but they can't get it in because of all the fish. It's so full that they can't even get it into the boat. And they realize it's Jesus standing on the shore, and yet they come and try and get the fish into the boat, but they can't, and then they decide to drag it in to the shore. And they get to the land, and there's a charcoal fire burning and bread laid out. And Jesus says, "Bring some fish in, and we'll cook them," you know. And Peter's over there, and he's bringing these fish in. Even says in the scripture, there was 153 fish. So that was pretty good. And the net was not torn. So he told him to come in and eat breakfast. It says that none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. So Jesus came and gave bread to them and fish. In verse 14, it says, "This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead." In Luke 24, 42 and 43, it says Jesus ate the bread and fish. So for those people that you hear say, "Well, he was just a spirit. He was not real." It was just a spirit to them. He wasn't in the flesh. You could tell them that. This is what I would say would become the seventh time Jesus appeared to not only the apostles, but to others. It says here the third in verse 14, but that means it was the third time that they were all together with him. We're not told how many other people were there, but, you know, with that happening in near the shore, there had to have been other fishermen, other people around. Eventually, the apostles were summoned back to Jerusalem toward the end of the 40 days. There they would be present for the Feast of Pentecost. There were probably more appearances during the apostles' last days with Jesus that are not recorded. They were staying with, while staying with them, he charged them not to leave Jerusalem in Acts 1 verses 4 and 5. He gathered them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of me. You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The Apostle Paul would reveal later in the New Testament in his writing information concerning the appearances of Jesus. You know, now Paul wasn't around that at that time. It says in verses 1 Corinthians 15:6 and 7, "Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles." The statement that he appeared to over 500 people is nowhere else in the New Testament, and this is the number 8 appearance that I found. Paul also states that Jesus appeared to James, which I would say would be number 9. When the end of the 40 days had come, Jesus brought the disciples together at Bethany at the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke 24, verses 50 through 53, it says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God." Another scripture that speaks of this is Acts 1, 9 through 11. "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And also, they also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" This obviously was the last appearance of Jesus after his resurrection on earth and would be number 10 as far as my calculation goes. Yet we see that Jesus appeared to one other person after this that we have to mention. After Jesus had returned to heaven, Saul of Tarsus was chosen by Jesus on the road to Damascus to be one that would serve God as an apostle. This appearance of Jesus to Paul would be 11, but if we count the 3 times Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9 in a vision and Acts 22 verses 17 and 18 in the temple, and in Jerusalem the night before he was taken to Rome in Acts 23:11, we come up with a total of 13 appearances. As I said to begin with, there are a number of men who have studied the appearances of Jesus in the New Testament and have come up with different numbers. And get so because it's really hard to get everything straightened around. Getting the travels of Jesus in the 40 days that he moved through Judea and Galilee in the exact order has been a problem, even for all the scholars that I've read about and looked at. They all seem to have different numbers or disagreements. The important thing to realize from this study is to know there's a is testimony of many people who were with Jesus before, during, and after his crucifixion, that Jesus was the Son of God, who God raised from the dead, which proved, along with the miracles he performed, that's another great proof that Jesus was the Son of God. Those who teach our children, or teach at all, that Jesus probably was just a good man or a prophet must be silenced. There are men, and it seems to be getting worse, that there are more and more people that just don't want to give Jesus what he deserves, and that's his deity and his sonship and his redemption powers in our lives. And we need to teach our children and make sure this error is not anywhere a part of us. We all know that we believe in God. We believe that Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God, and we believe that he rose from the dead to save us from our sins. And so we have to make sure that we don't let any of this come into our lives or our families' lives. And that's really all I have. So, yes. I think we've all seen or heard these different people, experts on the Bible, that try and explain everything, you know. Yeah, that's what surprised me. It surprised me how, when I read about the Jehovah's Witness and other denominations, they'll admit that they know Jesus Christ, that they believe. They even lie to you and say they believe in Jesus. If you look it up sometime and see what Jehovah's Witness believe. And they will, what they'll do is they'll make you think they believe in Jesus when they really don't. Go ahead. That's right, yeah. Autumn? The there's people who study historical documents, ancient documents, like Greek and Roman and all different kinds of documents from history. And they say that the Bible, the New Testament, has more historical accuracy, and the way they write is more historical accurate in its proof text than any other ancient history. And I've read that before. I think maybe you have too. And yet we have people who are just, and this is what happens in America. We get people who step in and you know, they want to change everything. And what they're changing is the scripture. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't want to use the Bible as a authorized text. Mm-hmm. Well, and what I said before is, you know, God could have just said, well, 500 or more people saw him after he was raised. But he wanted to make sure in Scripture that we understood, and I think this is coming in the future, that people are going to keep more and more people are going to keep denying the deity of Christ and the Godhead. The Godhead, a lot of people don't believe in the Trinity or the Godhead. They believe in God, and that's it. And Jesus is just a part of that, like the Holy Spirit. He's just in that one. They don't believe in the individuals. And so they're teaching that a lot, too. And so I think that's over time, they want to dilute everything, you know, and make it to where eventually nobody believes it, that Jesus was the Son of God. All right, if that's all, then I guess appreciate your attention. Other bells should be ringing here soon.